have your Bibles, and let me encourage you, make sure you bring your Bibles each week with you. But go ahead and take your Bibles and turn over to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5 this morning. And we're going to shoot for each class just to be about a half hour, 10 to 10:30. Very rarely will we go over 10:30 this morning. We might, just since it's the first class. But we'll see how the day goes. But 1 John chapter 5, and we will begin reading at verse 13 down through verse 21. And we're going to do this kind of like we do on Wednesday nights for our Bible study. Who would like to read 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 21? Ms. Rose?
That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children,
all right, thank you there, Ms. Rose. So the key verse we want to focus on there is verse number 13. Verse number 13, and specifically where the Bible says that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. And so today we want to talk about just simply salvation. How to be saved. How do we know that we are a Christian? How do we know that we are in Christ? And I know some of us do better with visuals. And so we're talking about salvation today and how to be saved. And eventually I'll have a little display up here. And, there we go. There we go. All right, so salvation. How to know that we're saved. And the questions we want to ask and try and answer today is, when does a person, or where does a person go when they die? Now, you ask the world, where does a person go when they die? 9 times out of 10, people are going to look at you and say, well, they go in the ground. Or they go into an urn. Or, they'll have a variety of answers. But another question we want to try and answer is there an afterlife? And if there is an afterlife, how can we know that we'll end up in heaven? And so these are questions that every person has faced at some time in their life, even those out in the world, whether they know it or not. These are questions that they face or questions that they will face. So the Bible is very clear about how a person can know where he will spend eternity. And so turn over, if you would, Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Right, Romans chapter 3. And who would like to read there verse number 23? Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Miss Sandy?
23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
All right. So simple verse. We probably all know it and have heard it quoted at one time. But now, according to that verse, blank have sinned. Blank to sin. Who has sinned?
Even the saved.
All. Even the saved. Even those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. All have sinned. And so that first blank there on your paper, all have sinned. All have sinned. That means that every person, from the pastor down to the newest of church members, all have sinned, and every person has sinned. So that second line there on your fill in the blank, this means every person has sinned. Every person has sinned. And so when we talk about sin, that means that every person has come blank of the glory of God. Anyone have an idea of what that?
Short.
Yeah, exactly. See? So see what I mean by this is going to be really simple? Mm-hmm. You know, so nobody should, you know, really feel intimidated by these classes. And I think we'll all get it. And so every person, no matter who we are, we've fallen short of that glory of God. We've fallen short of heaven. So you think about it this way. If two people were playing, you know, a game of darts, and we used to have a dartboard downstairs before some of the kids, they really would throw those darts there. And so eventually it just broke. It wasn't Emerson or Neil either. They would just throw those darts, and eventually that dartboard, it was from Family Dollar. So, you know, it wasn't anything, super sturdy or whatever. But, you know, you're throwing a game of darts, and one person's dart may miss the board altogether. That would probably be my dart, because I stink at darts. So I'd probably hit somebody in the eye or hit somebody, you know, somewhere where they don't want to be hit or whatever. But then another person's dart may be within an inch of the bullseye. Now, only one spot on the board is the mark. So while one person got it on the board and one person didn't get it on the board, both of us missed the mark. We didn't get it right there in the middle. And so the condition of man before salvation, where we were before Christ saved us, kind of like the dart that has missed the mark. Some people, they've missed perfection by a long way. They haven't seen perfect ever. You know, I mean, school, work, life. I mean, they've missed perfect within miles. But then some, they've just missed perfect by a little bit. They've missed it just somewhat, but they've still missed the mark, and they're still not perfect. And everyone has missed the mark. All of us, we're in the same boat. Before salvation, we all were sinners. Now, if you're saved, if you know Christ as your Savior, now we're just sinners saved by grace. And nothing has changed. Look over, if you would, Romans chapter 3, and go back up there to verse number 10. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10. Who'd like to read that for us? Savannah?
As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
All right. And so we see there, again, another simple verse. So according to that verse, the Bible says, as there is written, there is none blank, no, not one. We're not what? Righteous. That's right. So that that fourth fill in the blank there under number one, the condition of man. There is none righteous, no, not one. And so righteousness, just very simply, can be defined as equitable in character or act, innocent, holy. And so to be righteous would then mean that a person would be without sin or would be perfect. And we know that according to the word of God, none of us are perfect. None of us are sinless. Some of us, we struggle more so than other people with sins. You know, there may be a sin that we struggle with till we get to heaven. That's just a simple fact of the matter. But because Christ saved us, we can sin less, but not be sinless. And so we see that here this morning. So we see the condition of man. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark. None of us are righteous. None of us have attained sinless perfection. None of us have achieved perfection. We're all in the same boat. And that's really what makes Christianity different than really any other religion. Because other religions, they kind of elevate certain people or elevate certain things or whatever the case may be. No, when we get to Christianity, we're all on the same level. We're all in the same playing field. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. And so we see the condition of man. And so any questions about the condition of man this morning? All right, then we'll just keep rolling there. Number two, the consequences of sin. The consequences of sin. Look, if you would, there, Romans chapter 6. And you'll notice we're going a lot through the book of Romans. And what these verses are known as, so when maybe you have somebody in your life you're trying to win to Christ. Maybe you have someone you're trying to share the gospel with. All of these verses are going to be good. It's what's known as the Romans Road. And you can just walk them down this road, and it's like guideposts along the way to show them what they need to do to be saved. And so, Romans chapter 6, and who'd like to read there verse number 23? Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23. Katie?
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord.
All right, and so, again, according to this verse, the wages of sin is what?
Death.
So the first fill in the blank there on your under number two is death. And I've always explained it this way when it comes to wages. Come the end of the week, after you've worked for the week, you wake up on a Friday morning, or maybe you get your pay on a Thursday, but you wake up, you open your bank account, you expect to see your paycheck from that past week that you just worked. Well, those are your wages for the work you just did. This is what our work of sin gets us. The wages of sin is death. Now, this is talking about death in two ways. Number one, it's talking about physical death. One day, we're all going to die. Or should the Lord tarry in his coming, we're all going to see death. But then it's also talking about a spiritual death, which is separation from God for all of eternity in a place called hell. And so again, this death here in Romans 6:23 is referring to eternal separation from God in hell forever. All right, turn over if you would, Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 this morning. Revelation chapter 20, and who'd like to read there, verse 14? Michaela?
And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death.
All right. So, according to that verse, and blank and hell were cast into the lake of fire. What do we think that first word is there? And death. So, again, that second fill in the blank there, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So, if man received his wages, if you have received your payment for sin, you would deserve to die and spend eternity where?
Hell.
That's right. And so that's that third fill in the blank there under the consequences of sin. And so because of our condition, because of us all being sinners, if we were to remain sinners, the consequences, the payment of that is death, separation forever from God in that place called hell. And so, any questions on that? Any questions on number two, the consequences of sin? All right, then we'll roll right in there to number three, and that's the Christ of salvation. The Christ of salvation. So far we've seen the picture. We've gotten it pretty clear. And it's been one that has been painted for us. Really, it's one of gloom. Really, it's one of hopelessness. It's one
where it's like, man, we're sinners. We're going to die. We're going to go to hell. Who's going to want that type of Christianity? Who's going to want that type of God? Who's going to want that type of quote unquote savior? But thankfully, and you've heard me say this any number of times, as we go through the Bible, as we go throughout Scripture, God just doesn't leave it at doom and gloom. He just doesn't leave it at, well, here's the hopelessness of the situation, but here's what you can do to get out of it. So we see that man is sinful, deserves to pay for his sin in a place called hell, but thankfully the story doesn't end there. Look back, if you would, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 again. And who'd like to read there verse number 23? Miss Andy?
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
All right, so here we see it. Wages of sin is death, but the blank of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The blank of what?
The gift of God.
The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, this is perhaps where I get the most excited because I like gifts. How many of you like gifts? Right? Now, if I came up to you and I gave you a gift, but then I said, okay, now you owe me $24.99 plus tax for that gift. Is that much of a gift?
No.
No, because you had to pay for it. That's right. Now, with the gift that God has given us through his son, it's just that. It's a gift. He paid it all. All we have to do is reach out and accept it like a kid on Christmas morning and run away with it. That's all we have to do. And exactly. See, yeah, right? And all we have to do
is... It's so hard for people to understand that because he made it so easy.
Yeah.
When you're talking to people, they just don't get it because it's too easy.
That's right. And see, that's the thing about religion. Religion, when you go out and you study it, all these religions are a set of rules. Do, 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 don't, don't. Mm-hmm. And Christianity is a religion of done. When Christ was on the cross, he said three famous words, it is finished. Now, he wasn't talking about himself. He wasn't saying, I'm finished. No, he was saying God's redemptive plan is finished. What God set out to do is finished. And so the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, who's the giver of this gift?
Jesus.
That's right. Jesus is the giver of this gift. So the second fill in the blank there, under the Christ of salvation, is Jesus. Go over Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. Who'd like to read that for us? Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 this morning. Katie? Katie? Yeah.
But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
All right. So now, that word commendeth there, and this is Paul. He's bringing about a parallel now. In fact, go up there, if you would. You're there in chapter 5. And notice, let's see. So, verse 8, God commendeth his love. But let's go up just a little bit. Let's go up to verse number 1. And the Bible says there in verse number 1, chapter 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here comes some of the benefits of salvation. By whom also we have access by faith in this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And here it is. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So now here in verse 7, Paul's going to make a comparison. He's going to make a contrast. So verse 7, he says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us. That word commendeth means he proved it, and he just proved it on the cross of Calvary for us, his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So here's the comparison. Here's the contrast. Verse 7, he has a righteous man, and he says, no one needs to die for a righteous man. And then he goes on to the good man, and he said, well, some would venture to die for a good man. But then in verse 8 he says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that means that Christ, thousands of years ago, he looked down through eternity future to see us right here, 2023, sitting in a church to hear his word, to study his word, to be in church. And he knew the worst of us. I mean, there might be things you hide from one another, might be things you hide from your closest friends that you can't hide from God. But God saw that. And he said, where other people would cast you off, where other people would throw you away, where other people would want nothing to do with you, God saw all of that. And he said, you know what? I still love them enough that I'm going to go to a cross and I'm going to die for their sins. And so that's what that means there in verse number 8. So it says, God commendeth his love toward who?
Toward us.
That's right. So that third fill in the blank there is us. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ what?
Died.
That's right. Christ died for us. So that fourth fill in the blank there is Christ died for us. So, you know, a person is often given gifts at Christmas. We're given gifts at our birthday. We're given gifts at our anniversary. I know Mandy, she would get a gift every month if she could. And because now, you got to understand, we have all within the span of a couple months. And I don't know how we wound up doing this, but we have Christmas in December. January is our anniversary. February is Valentine's Day. March is her birthday. So there's 4 months. And then in April, she asked me about an Easter basket. And I said, what? Well, what are you, 7? And but she wanted an Easter basket, so guess what she got? She got an Easter basket. And now here in May, it's Memorial Day, and I'm sure she's going to want some type of Memorial Day gift. But we receive gifts all throughout the year, birthdays, Christmas, anniversaries. And, you know, a gift is always free. It's always free, or it's not truly a gift. And the great thing about salvation is just that it's a gift. And just as the giver at Christmas time does not hand the receiver a seat and ask for reimbursement, Christ himself does not want man to pay for his way to salvation. You know, it'd be foolish for a person to try to work to earn his way to heaven. Yeah. We can't work our way to heaven. We can't buy our salvation. We can't do anything to earn heaven. And because Christ has already paid the payment for our sin. He's already taken care of it on the cross, and all we have to do is accept it and take it. Go over, if you would, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and who'd like to read there verses 8 and 9? Ephesians chapter 2, Miss Sue.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
All right, so here again, another simple verse. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is what?
The gift.
The gift of God. That's exactly what it is. So there on that second page, or on the back of your page, the first line, the first fill in the blank is the gift of God, not of blank, not of works. That's right. So the second line, fill in the blank, works, lest any man should boast. Look, if you would, Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And who would like to read there? Verse number 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. Savan?
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
All right. Thank you, Savan, for that. And so again, we see here that it's not by what?
Works.
Works of righteousness, which blank have done.
We.
That's right. But according to his mercy, blank saved us. He. That's right. So there on that second part, Titus 3:5, works, we, and he. Those are the three fill in the blanks. Works, we, and he. And so this Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, that died for us, sinful man, he did not stay in the grave. He did not stay dead. Look over, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 4. Who'd like to read that for us? Miss Sandy?
And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scripture.
All right, so again, we see here that he was buried, and that he what?
Rose.
Rose again. That's right. So that last line there is rose again the third day. So we see the condition of man. We see the consequence of sin. We see the Christ of salvation, the hope that we have. And then fourthly and finally this morning, we see the choice of man. We see the choice of man. So with any gift, the gift of salvation must be received. We must reach out and take it. We must reach out and accept it. And though he has the power, and he does, he has the power to force us to accept his gift of salvation, God has left the choice up to each one of us. He's not going to force us to take salvation. He's not going to force us to be saved. He's not going to force us to go to heaven. And so the gift, it may be received simply by asking God for it. Look at Romans chapter 10 there, if you would. And who'd like to read verse number 13? Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. Michaela?
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
All right. So again, another simple verse. For whosoever shall blank.
Call.
That's right. So for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
That's right. So if we'll just call on him, we'll be saved. I think of the verse in 1 John. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. Look there if you would. You're there in Romans chapter 10. Go back up to verse number 9. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. Who'd like to read that? Kenny?
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
All right. Thank you there, Kenny. And so we see here that Romans 10:9 shows that we must do what?
Confess.
We must confess with our mouth, but then secondly, what must we do?
Shall believe.
That's right. And so that's why whenever I lead somebody to the Christ, whenever I'm dealing with someone about salvation, I try and get them to understand before I lead them in a prayer that it's just not the words that save them, that they have to believe it in their heart. Because if all you do is get somebody to repeat a prayer, the Bible says that you're making them twice the child of hell. And we have to be careful about that, because so often we can get caught up in just getting someone to say a prayer that we don't make them or have them understand that it has to be believed in the heart that they have to actually believe what they're saying and calling upon the Lord. So we must believe in his heart in order to obtain the gift of eternal life. And so the gift of eternal life is really the same as a pardon for the sin that man has committed. There's an illustration there on your paper that talks about Andrew Jackson. It's when he was president, and under his administration, a very strange thing happened. A railway mail clerk named George Wilson killed his co-worker and tied himself up to make it appear that a train robbery had occurred. However, during routine questioning, a few flaws were found in his testimony, and he broke down and confessed the crime, which brought the death sentence. After a series of unusual events, President Jackson granted a pardon. Then the worldwide news was made when the prisoner refused to accept the pardon. Not knowing what to do with the prisoner, this case finally was sent to the Supreme Court, and Justice John Marshall wrote in the decision, "A pardon is a paper, the value of which depends upon its acceptance by the person implicated. It is hardly to be supposed that one under sentence of death would refuse to accept a pardon, but if it is refused, it is no pardon. George Wilson must hang." Mr. Wilson died for his sin, and no person is different who rejects the pardon of Christ that he freely offers today. So Christ, he's out there, he's offering the pardon, he's offering the salvation. All we have to do is reach out and accept it. And so the Bible clearly teaches that there are two types of people, those who believe and those who do not believe. Final portion of scripture, go over if you would, John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. And notice there, if you would, verse number 36. Who'd like to read that for us? John chapter 3 and verse number 36. Son?
He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
All right, so here we have it. The clear teaching. There's two types of people. Those who believe and those who do not believe. So John 3:36, he that what?
Believeth
on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And so each individual must make a choice to accept or refuse the pardon. Accept the gift of Christ or refuse the gift of Christ. And so, I didn't grab them, but if I was to have a box of crayons up here, like Crayola, what? No, Crayola, like a box of crayons. You could see the gospel.
You heard say crayons?
Crayons.
I think it's
like Crayola.
Okay.
Crayola.
That's why I was like, wait, what?
But if you had a box of crayons, you could find the gospel. You could find the gospel in that box. And you think about it. God created all mankind. So you could take the skin tone, the peach colored crayon. You have all mankind. Many people think that their sin is not too bad, that it's just a little bit gray. But they haven't done too many bad things. However, in God's eyes, our sin is really bad, no matter what it is. And our hearts really resemble the black crayon. Because of our sin, we deserve to go to a place called hell, a place of darkness and torments, where the fire, orange, is not quenched. God loves us very much, and though Jesus is royalty, as pictured by the blue, he was sent to pay for our sins, and Jesus went through many things before he went to the cross, including whippings, beatings, which left his body broken and bruised, purple and bloody red. After much agony, he was led to the brown cross, where he shed his red blood for you and for me. And so if you and I accept Christ's payment for our sins and trust him to take us to heaven, our hearts are made white as snow and clean by his blood. And then someday, either by the death or rapture, he'll take us to heaven where there are yellow, gold streets. And then, until then, you and I are remembered by the green crown that we should read our Bibles and grow in the knowledge of Christ and be what he wants us to be. So next time, I don't know how many of you still color, but, you know, when you look at those crowns, you can be remembered of the gospel in that box of crowns. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And absolutely. And so just remember that. And so that's how we can have salvation and what salvation is all about. And so any questions on our first lesson this morning? All right, then. If not, Brother Kenny, would you close us in prayer this morning?